Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Hi guys, Sarah here. Just wanted to let you all know that we have set up a Buy Me A Coffee account. What is Buy Me A Coffee? Well, it's a platform where you can donate as little as the cost of a coffee to our podcast. Your donation will go towards the running costs of this podcast. Our goal is to reach $480, which is the yearly cost of our platform host, Buzzsprout. You can find the links to Buy Me A Coffee page on our socials, Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, and Instagram, our blog at www.fridaynightwinefight.blogspot.com, or at www.buymeacoffee.com/FNWF podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Now on with the show.
Welcome to Friday Night Wine Fight.
I'm Bianca.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Amy. We are three Melbourne girls who had nothing better to do than start a podcast while we were all living the vida lockdown. And we've been in and out of lockdown ever since. Welcome to lockdown six, people.
Yeah. 5.2.
No, it's 5.2, 5.1, because it's 5.0, like a thing, 5.0, and then 5.1. I don't know. Anyway, it's too hard. Yeah. We're up to lockdown 477.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Been 84 years.
So we take aim at one topic each week with a lot of COVID quips because we're sort of sick of being in lockdown, but we understand the purpose. And we drink a lot because, well, I don't have anywhere to be. And then we try to make some sense of it, if we remember what we're talking about. And we try to make some sense of each other because we don't know what the fuck's going on anymore. Anyway, what are we drinking?
Well, I'm drinking Cow Bommy again because it's probably one of my favorites. I don't know why. It's not even like top shelf.
It's delicious, right?
It's really good for a cheaper wine. I'm loving it.
So good.
Well, I went with Innocent Bystander because I thought it went kind of well with our topic. Please, people, think of the innocent bystanders. but I'm actually trying something new. I'm drinking Pinot Gris.
And I'm so happy.
That's right, listeners. You didn't hear wrong. Sarah's trying something new.
Yeah.
That's how bored we are of lockdown. Yeah. Sarah's trying something new.
This never happens. Because I seem to drink the same wines every week.
No.
Oh, I know.
Oh, my God. I've never noticed.
Never would have known. Fuck off. Anyway, yeah, so I'm trying it new. And it's not bad.
Innocent Bystander's not bad. Yeah.
Oh, Innocent Bystander does the lovely wine.
Does. And Pinot Gris. Yes.
And it was fairly warm today, so.
Yeah.
Welcome, Sarah. You could be in our summer drinking club. This is going to be amazing.
Oh, yay. But no thanks.
Thanks. I hate it. Can I cancel my
invitation? Bad luck, you're in, just like this podcast. We're doing this and you're doing it. Bad luck.
You heard that, people. I was forced into this podcast.
Absolutely dragged, kicking and screaming.
They're not wrong.
No. Anyway, I'm drinking Wiley Rooster Merlot, otherwise known as my precious. Because I got a wine delivery. And
that's still going to get less scary every week.
Yeah. No.
It's becoming my thing, and I ordered so many bottles of the Wiley Rooster. I'm just like, yes, because where else am I going to go and what else am I going to do? Drink my delicious wine and sit here by myself. So, yeah. Anyway, let's crack on into tonight's topic. So, Bianca, what have we got for tonight?
Well, once I just pour this drink, because I can't pour the drink and look at my computer screen.
You could,
without
it's gonna
knocking
get messy.
Everything over. Yeah. So our topic tonight is best action movie scene. This is one of my topic ideas and I love it. we, the three of us, love action movies, just especially a bit of like JCVD and, you know, Sylvester and Arnie and Bruce. Oh my gosh, we just
Jason Statham.
Oh yes, yes.
I'm right into him at the moment.
Oh yes, there's my daughter.
Yeah. Something about that man.
And I am down for this. I'm here for it. I will sit and watch everything. Yeah, love it. So I actually thought I'd just start off with a bit of psych about action movies. So why do people
Why do we love them?
Why do we love them? Well, when we watch action movies, we expect a spectacular display of events. Filmmakers have developed an armory of cinematic devices like slow motion, continuity editing, close up to direct viewers' minds to the screen during their watching. Most people, though, will say that they watch movies just to relax. The real fact is the brain is very alert and it's active throughout the entire movie, whether it be, you know, an hour and a half or 3 hours. The truth is our brain processes most of the stimuli from the movie the way it would process it in real life. And according to Science Magic, there's an area of the brain called the prefrontal cortex, and that helps in imagining or connecting with the images on the screen. So that region can be controlled, and because of which we are able to stop from acting or behaving the same way the hero does or the other characters do.
Hear that? That's science. It's not a defense for being a dumbass.
No, exactly. Exactly. The other side of that, there are some people or patients that have been specifically tested that have damage to the prefrontal cortex. And having damage to this area actually makes them more likely to respond to the movies as if they are real, and they will jump and scream. So if you're one of those people that watches a movie and you physically like suddenly, yes, I call it being sucked in. Like, I just zone in and I will jump and scream at horror movies and stuff like that. I don't know if I have damage to my prefrontal cortex. But apparently,
I don't know.
If you've got some damage there, you will jump and scream with it. So when you look at that, kids also face a similar problem because their prefrontal cortex is still developing. That's why they sometimes talk to the movies, jump over the seats to hide from scary scenes, etc. What were you going to say, Amy?
I was going to say, I don't know with that. Because I feel like horror movies is like in a totally different genre, yeah. Because there's often a lot of suspense with that. And horror movies, I think, unless you've been living under a rock, if you're watching a horror movie, you full well know something's going to jump out and scare the shit out of you because that's the purpose of the movie. So yeah. You know that that's coming. But still, the suspense and everything else that builds up, you're going to react to that. And that's what movie makers are counting on. With action movies, though, it's a little bit different. Obviously, if something jumps out, yeah, maybe you go, oh, shit. But, like, if a car explodes, if I saw a car explode in the street, I probably would react very differently to watching, you know, Jason Statham do a cool move and then blow up a car.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I feel like if you're reacting to action movies like it's real, then yes, maybe you're damaged. In terms of horror movies, I feel like if you're not jumping in a horror movie, you're watching the wrong horror movie, mate.
Yeah. No, I fully agree with what Amy just said. Yeah.
Did you hear that? Can we play that back? Like, that has never happened.
It will be the first and last time. Don't get excited.
So action movies, like they create a scenario of stress, whereas I suppose horror movies are creating a scenario of fear. Yeah. So the scenario of stress happens in complete control, it's a controlled environment, and it's short-lived. So this is something that people actually enjoy. They enjoy to be stressed. So weird.
I don't know. Yes, in a way, it's just like shit. What am I going to do? That's so relatable. Well, yeah. It is in my life.
So yeah, look, whenever like a person or us, we watch a movie, we feel like we're traveling with the hero, We have the same pain, same happiness, same excitement, and we become one with the hero in our imagination.
Or the villain, depends how damaged your prefrontal cortex is.
Or neither, and you just want everyone to die. So,
yeah, that was me watching Snatch. Yeah. But anyway.
So, yeah, action movies will definitely have a bad guy, some impossible tasks, a beautiful heroine, and at the end the hero will win over all the obstacles and even win his lady love. So at the end, the person who watched the movie goes out with a sense of accomplishment and confidence, as if they're the ones who fought with him. Yeah.
I definitely walked out of action movies, out of the cinema, thinking, I hope someone jumps me. Because if they do, I'm so ready for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Never have I thought that.
I get pumped. I get so pumped. Yeah.
Hi. Yeah. I just want to set a car on fire and fucking punch a dude. Like, I'm ready.
Well, you might relate to this next bit. So it's not all good watching an action movie, people.
No, the team said I was going to set a car on fire and punch somebody. This is not good.
No. The team at the UCL, King's College, London, and Guy's and St. Thomas Hospital found that watching an emotionally charged film clip caused a disturbance to the normal heartbeat and a significant increase in blood pressure. Although the changes were small and not likely to be risky for a normal healthy individual. It's also been proven by scientists at Cornell University that people who watch action movies are much more likely to eat more than their counterparts who watch other movies. According to a research team, those watching an action movie eat twice as much as someone watching a slow-paced talk show instead. And in cinemas where obviously the people watching a particular movie had consented to being filmed. So they filmed the audience watching the movie and they timed it with, you know, what was happening in the movie, and people would eat their popcorn or whatever they had. As soon as the action started, they just start eating faster. You actually eat faster when there's action on the screen.
I don't agree for this reason. Tell that to a pre-menstrual woman watching Love Actually right before Christmas. Fuck off. That's not true.
I'm sorry, but that's completely different. That's a completely emotional eating different.
I admit I eat more when I'm watching Love Actually because I'm bored out of my brain and I don't know what else to do. So
I love Love Actually.
Anyway, we're getting off topic. Go.
Yeah.
So, anyway, yes. Action movies packed with violence have always been held responsible for the increase in violence and crimes in society. Fucking bullshit. But anyway, a study carried out by Mount Sinai Hospital, New York, confirms that violence in a movie can impact a person's behavior, but to what extent will depend on whether the person has aggressive traits or not. So the aggression has to be there to begin with.
Yeah, that's the same with all the fighting sports as well. If you go and watch boxing and you've got an aggressive nature, you can go out and fight people. This is what happens every fight night, and the pubs are open and they've got fight nights on. The police are just swamped with dickheads fighting each other because that's what they just saw, so now they want to do it.
Yeah, just like you leaving cinema, want to set a car on fire.
I haven't yet.
So being the opening word,
While watching the violence, while watching violence, the aggressive group, as opposed to the non-aggressive group, had less activity in the orbitofrontal cortex, which controls emotion-related decision-making and self-control. These people said that they felt more inspired and determined and less upset or nervous than the other group. And so they felt like they wanted to commit live out the acts that they saw, all this aggression, rather than people who were non-aggressive by nature. Whereas you're not aggressive by nature, so you're like, yeah, I could go out and set a car on fire. But you're not going to, because your orbitofrontal cortex is not damaged or it's not hyperactive.
Because your brain tells you that would be wrong. Don't be a dickhead.
No, Sarah, that's actually not true. My brain says, yeah, but how, dickhead? How are you going to do that? And I go, oh, yeah, I don't know how to do that. So.
Yeah, it sounds hard. It sounds like he's planning. How do people just do this off the cuff? Like,
do you need a group of people? Should I flip the car first? Oh, like, wait. And then I've got like the gas tank underneath. Like, does that help?
Flip the car. You gonna flip the car?
Okay. I'm logically trying to work out how to set the fucker on fire. Right, like, I'm not the right.
I'm just gonna call the bitches. Right, what are you doing on Tuesday? Everyone's working. Okay. What about next Saturday? Wait, we're in lockdown. Fuck. We need to pencil this in. We're going to set a car on fire in 2023.
I've left the owner a note saying leave it exactly where it is.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm the one that doesn't get the urge to set cars on fire after watching an action movie, yet I'm probably the one who is more capable of setting a car on fire just out of a whim.
Yeah. If I'm calling anyone, how do I set this car on fire? I'm calling Sarah. I love you, Bianca, but I'm calling Sarah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm calling Sarah.
I'm right there with you. Yeah, just bring me in on that chat.
Anyway, back to the topic.
Oh, yeah, back to the topic. All right, well, that's a little psych out the way, like it's done. So for funsies, I did look up what the top 10 most expensive action movie scenes of all time. Starting at number 10, we're counting down. Pearl Harbor from 2002, the Japanese surprise attack. That cost $7.5 million US dollars to create.
So the ship's blowing up.
Yeah. Coming in at number 9 is one of my favorite films, Saving Private Ryan from 1998, the D-Day landing. That cost $12 million, and it was a brilliant scene, I must say.
There was War Vets who went and saw that movie on invitation from the filmmakers who went like full PTSD. It's fucked.
Yep. Yeah.
See that dude who just got blown up and then he goes looking for his arm and then he finds it and throws it over his shoulder and just like walks away. Oh my God.
I can't do war movies. They're too real.
Ugh. Yeah. I love
fucked. Them. Oh, we liked Enemy at the Gates. We went to the movies and saw that.
Oh, I did like Enemy at the Gate.
Yeah. So coming in at number 8 is Matrix Reloaded from 2003. The highway chase scene cost somewhere between 10 and 15 million. There's no definitive number here. Fun fact, it was shot in Sydney.
Is that the one where he's I only watched the first one and I hated it, but so that's the third one?
That is Matrix Reloaded and fuck, what's the third one? I've forgotten what the third one is.
I thought that was the third one.
Oh, let me just do a quick Google here.
Anyway, my question was, is this the scene where, is it Trinity, the chick, Carrie-Anne Moss, is driving the motorcycle and she's got the Asian bloke on the back and he's crying and stuff? Is that scene?
Yeah, and she's like shooting and shit. She turns around and fucking, yes. Yeah,
I watched the mate. I actually, because I was interested because of how much it cost, I actually watched the making of that when it was on a short TV doco. Yeah. That's incredible, that scene. That's amazing.
Yeah. So Matrix Reloaded is 2, Matrix Revolutions is 3. That's it. Anyway, and there's a fourth one coming out, but yes. So, yes, that was between 10 and 15 million. And then number 7, we have Matrix, the first one. The opening scene, 15 million. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I don't recall the opening scene to The Matrix, to be honest.
Oh, you know, like they're in The Matrix. It's before Follow the White Rabbit and she's all like stops. Yeah, she puts her hand up and the bullet comes and she goes, sucks into the phone. You know, So a lot of that, the reason why it costs so much is because of all the CGI.
Yeah.
They paid
because that shit was expensive then.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas now you can just download an app on your phone. So,
I mean, 1999, like it was revolutionary for its time, I believe.
Admittedly, I hated that movie, but that scene is good.
Number 6, Swordfish from 2001, The Flying Bus. $15 million. And the reason why that cost so much is because it was an actual helicopter, an actual bus. The buildings and stuff were CGI, so there was a lot of cost in CGI. But they did actually pick up the bus, and so they had to – there was costs of, like, airspace and all the rest of that. That's all costs. So that's
cool. I was going to say that. The only thing that's not CGI in that whole scene is the bus and the helicopter. That's real.
Yeah. So, yes, that's why that cost so much. And number five, Transformers, Last Night, the junkyard scene. I haven't seen that one either.
I haven't seen it.
I'm just assuming that $15 million that was spent there was all Michael Bay just blowing shit up, because he does.
If I go and to I see a Michael that. Bay film and I'm not seeing shit being blown up, I'm like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And coming in at number four, Speed 2, Cruise Control, the ship crash. $25 million, because they
crashed the ship. Yeah,
they actually crashed the ship. Under a controlled environment. That wasn't a real resort, like it's okay, people. No one died.
I was gonna say, maybe this is wrong. I thought they only crashed the front of it. Anyway,
crashed the front of the ship into the instead of like stopping, it just went straight into the dock. Number three. Okay. Ben-Hur, 1959. The Chariot Race. $34 million.
Yeah.
What? Now,
I can see
the special thing about this particular action scene is we can, as a human race, we can never recreate this scene in its perfect entirety to exactly how it was back then. Have a guess.
Too many people died.
Nope. No. Our friends at the Uncredited Extras actually had this on their Instagram the other day, and I can't remember the answer.
I didn't see it.
I didn't see that either.
When I say the other day, it was probably 6 months ago. So.
It probably was. the reason is we can't treat horses that way.
That wasn't the answer. It must have been another Ben-Hur question.
Must have been. No, it's, we cannot treat horses with that disrespect.
Yeah.
And
they probably killed 40 of them.
Way more. I'm not even going to go into how many,
do you want to know why we don't watch Marlo and Otis anymore? It's because it was filmed in Vietnam. Guess how many Marlo and Otises they went through.
I know. I didn't know that, and thank you for ruining that movie for me.
Oh, there were tons of them.
Nah.
There's so many.
You know when they jump off the waterfall?
They just threw them
off.
I'm taking my headphones off. I can't hear you.
they were not kind. We were not kind to animals in films, whereas now we absolutely have to. And, we should. So, coming in at number two. Just
parallel. Are we back to the list now? Yes. Sorry, I actually took my headphones off. I didn't want you to ruin that movie for me.
I've got so many movies to ruin you with animal cruelty, Sarah. You have
Amy,
no
shut
idea.
Up. I don't want to know them.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Number two, Matrix Reloaded. Again. Yes. So the Burly Brawl. So where there's lots and lots and lots of Agent Smiths and Neo's fighting them all. Yep, so much CGI, $40 million. Number one, taking the top spot, we have War and Peace, Part 3 from 1967.
This is Part 3?
War and Peace is a long fucking book, and it's three fucking movies. I don't even know. It could be four fucking movies. I've never seen any of it.
I've never seen
it. Yeah, same.
Oh, God. I can't imagine. So the Battle of Borodino, $100 million.
Wow.
Yeah. I can't believe I've never seen it, and it cost them that much. I hope they got their money back.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, yes, that was just a little fun thing I thought I'd throw in there. Why not? Because action movies are, you've got to blow something up. You've got to build model scales. You've got to do a lot of things. It costs money. So, I thought that was fun to find. And so now I will crack onto my favorite action movie scene, and it is from Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
Woo! I haven't seen it. Bear in mind, I maybe watched it, but I forgot because I hate it.
Maybe while we were hungover.
Yeah, probably.
Definitely when we were hungover.
The Two Towers has been my favorite out of the three for a very long time. And then I like switched to Return of the King, but this is still my favorite battle from all of them. So it is the Battle of Helm's Deep, which is also called the Battle of Hornburg, if you've read the books. It is a fictional battle in the J.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, which saw the total destruction of the forces of the wizard Saruman by the army of Rohan, assisted by a forest of tree-like Huons. Yeah. So, yes. And I do love them. I love them so much. Treebeard is amazing.
For our listeners, that sentence that Bianca introduced that with, that's the reason why I don't watch this. I'm already so fucking lost.
So, yes, look, the battle was filmed mainly at night. In frequent heavy natural rain, or when necessary, they actually used artificial rain on the actors. And it took more than 3 months. And a lot of them actually got sick. They got colds and stuff. Yeah, and especially, like, in their wool coats, like, oh God, all that wool and stuff they had to wear, all the costumes, gross, smelly, fucking wet dog everywhere. So the Helm's Deep set used some computer-generated imagery. Some parts were constructed as full-size sets, and some shots used a quarter-scale physical model, while the more distant shots used a 1/85 scale model. It is being described as one of the greatest battle scenes in film because it combines technical mastery, sweeping spectacle, and tonal balance. And I wholeheartedly agree. You've got all this, like, I mean, a battle is just so violent, and then they just threw in this humor, just these little bits of humor, and then these little bits that want to make you want to cry, like you're like, oh my God, is Aragorn, like, Aragorn's gone, he's dead, and then he comes back, and you're like, and then Legolas is just like, everybody's going to die here. Aragorn's like, no, they're going to fight. And you're like, yeah. Oh, the emotion that goes on through that. And the scene, so the battle begins with 10,000 of Saruman's Uruk-hai, and they lay siege to the fortress, which is only defended by around 300 of the Royal Rim. Okay, so you've got 10,000 of these Uruk-hai there. And you've got standing on, like, standing on the wall, you've got, like, Gimli and Legolas. And Legolas has got, like he can see over the top of this, like, plinth bit. And Gimli's jumping. And Legolas just looks down and gets, like, would you like me to find you a box?
Shall I find you a box? Yeah. Oh, my God, favourite line ever.
Oh, my God. And oh no, my favorite line is a little bit later where Aragorn and Gimli, they sneak off and out.
Yes.
And he just looks at Aragorn. And Gimli's like, toss me. Aragorn's like, what? He's like, don't tell the elf. Kills me every time. Toss me. Yeah. So
the look he just gives him, like, are you serious? Don't tell the elf.
I love it. I love it. So while they're standing there, they've got all the Uruk-hai there, and they're really worried because, I mean, there was only 300 of these men and, like, one almost king, one elf and like, one dwarf. They really don't have a lot going for them. So all of a sudden, soon after that, a large group of elves from Lothlórien? Lothlórien?
They joined
the defences, and they were sent by Elrond, or Agent Smith, and but that was after Galadriel asked him. The defenders suffer heavy losses, but they hold out until dawn, when Gandalf arrives with 2,000 riders, led by Emma, who in turn, they just win the battle, and they completely destroy Saruman's forces. Oh, when he comes over the hill.
At this point, is it Gandalf?
Gandalf.
Is he also Dumbledore?
No.
No.
It's not the same actor?
No.
No.
Oh.
Very much different actors.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. So, fun fact, right? In the original script to the film, Elrond and Arwen go to see Galadriel in person, and it was Arwen who led the elves to fight alongside the Rohan defenders. Peter Jackson rejected Arwen's involvement, revising her character from a warrior princess to a role closer to that of the book, but he kept the elves in the battle.
Yeah. Hi.
Okay.
And she's a badass. Like, how good was it when she, like,
Oh, she rode off into battle in the last one. Yes.
Is this the Australian bird? What's her name?
This is Liv Tyler.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of the other one, Kate Blanchett. She's in that too, isn't she?
Oh, she's Galadriel.
Oh.
Yeah, Kate Blanchett is Galadriel. So, no, Arwen is the...
I was thinking of Eowyn.
Oh, you're thinking of Eowyn, who ends up with Emma. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boromir's brother.
All these names sound the same. My brain hurts.
Boromir is Sean Bean. Yeah.
Yeah. And
Emma's his brother. Yeah. And his dad's an absolute cunt.
Who I was happy to see die.
Yeah. Absolutely. If you didn't want Lord of the Rings spoilers, you've come to the wrong place, listeners.
Fucking care, like me, come to the right place.
I really would have liked to see Arwen more of a warrior princess, because when you've got the scene earlier on when Frodo is stabbed by the knife, so she takes him to Rivendell. Yeah. And, she's, like, got him on the horse, and she just turns around and, like, does this super magic with the water. And I'm like, yes, she could have been a fucking badass in the Battle of Helm's Deep. Why am I not seeing this? Oh, Peter Jackson, what have you done? Oh. I mean,
tried to stick to the books.
He tried to stick to the books. I know. How dare he?
How dare he?
Yeah. Oh, I just love this battle so much. It is dark, but it's not dark at the same time. Oh,
it's dark because it's nighttime, Bianca.
I love that. I know. But like, it's okay.
It's literally dark.
What's going on in my mind? I'm going. This battle was set at night and was really dark. Game of Thrones was a fucking nightmare.
Was it a nightmare for me? Because by the time I got around to it, my TV is so old, I could see everything perfectly. I was fine because I don't update my technology ever. So it was fine for me. It was fine.
It wasn't too bad.
It was a black screen. It was nothing. I couldn't see a damn thing. And my TV's fucked. Like, it's old. And blacks are grey. So, yeah. The fact that the black was black, I'm like, yeah, it's fucked. But anyway.
I have a fairly new TV and I just turned the brightness up and it was all good.
I did still have to look up a list of characters that died, though, just so that I could remember how many died, because so many die at the Battle of Winterfell at the end.
Just waited till the funeral and I was like, who's dead? Okay. Yep.
Yeah, but there was too many people crying and they were all covered with sticks and shit and they were burning the sticks and shit and there were so many people crying. I'm like, who are you crying for?
Really?
Why are you crying?
It was a lot.
And I'll look it up. Oh, that's why.
There was so much love. All those sticks and shit.
Right?
So much that's love. How I want to go, ladies, please. Sticks and shit.
Well, Sarah professes to be some sort of fucking archer, so we're going to sail you down a river and Sarah's going to shoot the fucking boat on fire. That's what's happening.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I may miss a couple of times. Never claim to be an amazing archer.
That's all right, mate. I'll run down the end with a blowtorch. I'll get her at the end.
I'll just end up doing... If I... Yeah. Oh my god,
that'd be less of a river, more of like a little stream, and she won't actually go anywhere.
No, mate, if you miss, I'll just wait at the bridge, like, as she goes out to the ocean with a fucking blowtorch, and I'll get her. It's right. You have a couple of cracks, and I'll get her at the end if you miss. Yeah.
Where the fuck are we sending her?
Where else are we going to send her? Can't send her down a river that ends in a lake. She's just going to be some random burning body at somebody's lake house. That's not cool.
Yeah, that's completely what we want.
I better tell my sister I'm going to Valhalla. I'm going to Lake Valhalla.
And then she'll haunt that house.
The only reason why we're putting you in a fucking boat and setting you on fire, mate, is to make sure you're actually fucking dead. That's all.
That's a good plan. Because if I come back as a zombie, I'm eating y'all.
Yeah, I know, right?
So, yeah. All right, back to my segment. Just to finish it off, my favorite. I'm just going to end with my favorite bit. It's right at the end of the movie. All the battles are over. And Gandalf and Aragorn and Gimli and Legolas, they go off to Saruman's tower. And there's Merry and Pippin. And they're like, we won the battle. And really, all they did was ride a fucking tree. And they're just sitting there eating pork and chicken and smoking weed. And they're just like, look what we did. We took him down. It's great. I love it.
I went to university with so many of those assholes I got stuck in group projects with.
Yeah.
You could all die.
Yeah.
They just rode. They sat on Treebeard and rode that ant into battle. It was great. Yeah. I just love it. I love that so much. All right, I'll shut up about Lord of the Rings. Amy, tell me about your. I've shown you mine. Show me yours.
Every day of the week, you name a time and I am there. You know this. All right. I'm talking about action movies, obviously, because I love them. Yeah.
Yeah, we put them on for funsies when we're way too drunk and the sun's coming up. So, yeah.
One of my favorite nights ever unfortunately did not involve Bianca, and Sarah and I were 50 shades to the wind. We were that drunk I don't think either of us could see properly, and I'm sitting in front of my TV with like shitloads of DVDs around me, and I'm just like, okay, do you want to watch an old fave like now and then, because that's one of our favorite movies. The three of us love that movie so much because it's a movie from our teenage years and we love it.
Yeah.
Or do you want to watch Street Fighter? Sarah looked at me, tilted her head a little bit like, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to be looking at you. Street Fighter. And that's what we did.
Every time.
Yeah.
Double team or Street Fighter?
Double team, Street Fighter, or Time Cop?
Universal Soldier.
I don't have Universal Soldier, but anyway. I have. Oh. Actually, the other one that we always kick in there, or Demolition Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wesley Snipes.
Sylvester
Stallone.
Watched together. Lockdown 2. Was it Lockdown 2 that we all watched that one together?
We watched Demolition Man, yes.
Yeah.
I passed out halfway through and then I revived myself at the end.
No, it's still there. Oh, no. We'll just keep watching because
And then right at the end, we're just like, I fucking love that scene. They're like, fuck, we thought you died.
Seriously, she was gone. Yeah. For the count.
Yeah.
Came back. I was back, baby. Anyway, action movies. Is there any better time for film? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You have everything from explosions to quick-witted banter to shootouts. Did I mention explosions? Like, who doesn't like to see things explode? I love it. My brother and I have a term when we're throwing things into a fire pit going, nope, can't burn that. Why? It'll go splody. Oh, yeah, good point. I love when things go splody. It's awesome. Anyway, for me, the best part of an action film is usually the uncomplicated nature of the plot. I just love the fact that it's usually really fucking easy to follow. Yeah.
Exactly.
You can just sit back and you can enjoy the multiple, usually over-exaggerated shootouts and things just going explodey. Yeah, love it. Yeah. So I am definitely a action movie watcher, and this is probably my favourite genre of film. So tonight I'm going to tell our listeners about my favourite action movie scene. So my scene comes from a movie called The Long Kiss Goodnight. It stars Gina Davis and Samuel L. Jackson, and the movie was made in 1996. The basic plot goes like this. Gina Davis's character lives a fairly boring life. She's a school teacher in Pennsylvania. She has a daughter, a boyfriend, you know, like an average shit. So she's also living with amnesia. So she doesn't really remember anything before I think it was her daughter was born. She woke up and she found out she was pregnant. So, and then she carries on a life after that. One night, she's driving a drunk friend home and is involved in a car accident, and this stirs things up in her head. Her family is then attacked by some rando bad guy, and it's at that point Gina Davis's character decides it's time to get some answers. She had previously hired Samuel L. Jackson as a private investigator in hope that he would uncover her past, but he'd had no luck previously.
Yeah.
However, he came into a bit of luck when he found some new evidence. So at the same time that he's finding this new evidence, this rando bad guy is turning up. So it kind of happens simultaneously. Gina Davis and Samuel L. Jackson head off to look up some of the people that might be tied to this chick's former life. That's when it all goes fuck up. Yeah. So people chase them and they try to kill them. People try to help them and, of course, they die because it's an action movie. You try to help these people, you will die. Yeah. And Gina Davis's character's kid gets kidnapped by a bad guy, so then they have to go and rescue her. So yeah. There are so many great action scenes in this movie. I could go on for hours about all of them because I've seen this movie way too many times. Samuel L. Jackson has some of the best one-liners in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
And to this day, when I turn off the lights in my house to go to bed, I'm like, na 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 na. I turn the lights off at night, na 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 na. Before I go to bed at night, na 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 na. Still do that. Yeah. The best scene from this movie is actually featuring the word motherfucker, but Samuel L. Jackson doesn't say it.
Yeah.
Yes, people. Samuel L. Jackson does not deliver this line, and it features motherfucker. Yeah. It's Gina Davis. Go figure. Okay, so this is basically what happens. Some boss bad dude is in a helicopter shooting at her and she's on the ground and she's got no weapons. And a dude that was killed earlier is on fire and is hanging from some lights above her because, you know, that happened. Thinking quickly, she decides to use the flaming body as a counterweight and cuts off the end of a string of the lights, and then it launches her up into the air while managing to grab the dead dude's machine gun on the way up.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And to me, I just throw shit at him. Like, I'm not that smart. But get that. She's figured that out. Anyway, this puts her at the same level of the helicopter. She proceeds to empty her machine gun clip, and the boss bad dude falls out of the helicopter and onto a fuel tanker below, which has a bomb on it. Of course it does. And it is about to explode. Of course it is. Yeah. She looks down at him, and she says, "Die screaming, motherfucker." And then the tanker explodes. Bad fucking ass. Oh, my God. I love this. I love it so much. I mean, the scene doesn't really make a lot of sense, like, at all. But, wow. Wow. If you have not seen this movie, and you really do need to go and watch it, but if you just want to see this particular scene, if you Google Long Kiss Goodnight, Die Screaming, this scene appears. It's like 19 seconds. Watch it. You will see this and go, oh, my God, Gina Davis is a badass. She's amazing. Yes. So once you have seen it, you'll understand why this is clearly my favorite action movie scene. Gina Davis, you're an amazing woman, and watching you in this movie was life-changing for me. We salute you. Showing. Yeah. Absolutely.
I will admit, it is the best Christmas movie out
there. It is. Yeah.
I was going to say that. So we, after a drunken New Year's where we jumped in a pool and, yeah, there was a long, there's a whole thing. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
We came back inside and we watched Long Kiss Goodnight, and we got into discussion about how this is a Christmas movie. Listeners, prove us wrong. So, the movie is set around Christmas. It has many Christmas-themed scenes.
Yes.
Why is this different to Love Actually? Give me reasons. We're waiting for you. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it starts off. For a horizon, she starts to get some, not cognitive memory. She gets a physical memory, like a motor memory back. Like, you know, you never forget how to ride a bike sort of thing. So Christmas, there was a Christmas party. She's driving a drunk dude home because doesn't want him to drive home.
Well, see, this is the thing. I have Christmas parties at my house or any kind of parties at my house, so I can get drunk and not have to drive people home. I don't know what she was thinking, really.
Yeah.
But she's nice. Remember, she's Betty fucking Homemaker.
She's Betty Crocker. Yeah.
Susie Homemaker. Yes, Susie
Homemaker and Betty Crocker mixed together. Yeah. It's Betty Homemaker.
Susie Crocker. Yeah.
Oh, fooey. I burnt the darn muffins.
Yeah.
And now you're walking into a bar and sailors come running out. That's a line from the movie. Go watch it, people. Yeah.
Exactly. So, yes, there's a Christmas, that Christmas theme. And that's where she hits a deer and then starts to get some physical memory back. And she's like, I think I was a chef in a previous life. And she's just fucking slicing shit up and throws this knife. And I'm like, oh, badass.
And then when she kills the bad dude that, like, invades her house, and then she breaks his neck, and then she looks up at her boyfriend, he's like, well, fuck, and she's like, chefs do that. And
yeah.
She's like, oh, yes, they do.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love it. I love it so much. I'm not going to bang on about this movie anymore. I'm just going to give a quick couple of shout-outs to some scenes in movies that I've just absolutely loved and I need to highlight to our listeners.
Yes.
So at the very end of Con Air, which is one of my favourite movies, oh, my God, I love this movie.
Yes.
So much. Nicolas Cage, marry me. Yeah.
Fuck off, marry me.
Marry us all, we don't mind. Anyway, at the end of Con Air, there's so many really good action scenes. There's all sorts of shit that happens. So it's actually quite full on. I'm surprised that that wasn't one of the ones that were actually the most expensive to film, because, like, it all looks like it was done on set. It doesn't look like there's a lot of CGI. It was done in, like, 96, and there's, like, shit that explodes. Yeah, anyway. So right at the end, John Cusack is sitting on the end of a car, and the guy that's been sort of his antagonist, he's another cop, comes up to him and realizes all the shit that he's been through, realizes he was right and everything else, and he just looks at him and goes, are you all right? And he goes, no.
Yeah. It's the most authentic response in a movie. Like, well, a lot of it, oh, fine, you know, because it's a movie. No.
I'll be okay.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of stuff, or like, lights a cigarette or takes a hip flask out or something like that. But he just sits down next to him. He's like, you're right. And he goes, no.
I love it.
I love it so much. The other action movie scene that I'd like to give a shout out to, which I feel like doesn't get enough credit, is the bit where Posh Spice drives the Spice Bus over the bridge, the London Bridge, in the Spice World movie. Oh, I feel like it just doesn't get enough cred. It's an awesome action scene, because if you haven't seen the movie, basically what happens is Posh decides to take the wheel in her stiletto shoes, which is also amazing if you've ever done that. Yeah. And decides to jump the London Bridge, as it's opening. And for some reason, the rest of the girls are on the top. And then Jerry falls, but then Baby grabs her. And then Mel C falls, but then Scary grabs her. It's just this whole long scene. Yeah, this bit where the bus actually jumps over the bridge. Listeners, oh, my God, watch this scene. It's amazing. It would have cost $6 to film, at least.
£6, you mean? Yeah.
Achilles is telling me I'm wrong. It's £6. Sorry, Achilles.
Yeah, that's what he said.
I know your mummy's British. I know your mummy's British. I know. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Yeah, I feel like that just doesn't get enough play these days. So definitely go and look that up. Yeah. I could go through 40 other thousand fucking scenes that I just find amazing, but I'm not going to. I'm going to pass the torch on to Sarah.
Yeah.
Thank you. And may I say, Gina Davis was who I always wanted to be growing up. Ever since I watched Cutthroat Island, which, again, amazing action movie, fantasy slash action movie. I love her.
Yeah, yeah.
I always have loved her.
I actually watched The Long Kiss Goodnight before I saw League of Their Own.
Oh, yes. Wow. Okay, okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
Mm.
Just wasn't something that was appealing. Like, League of Their Own was, like, 92, 93 or something. It just wasn't appealing to children. It wasn't something that you would watch. And then, like, I'm six. I was in year seven. So, yeah, definitely was on the action movie thing. I was watching Face Off, Long Kiss Goodnight, all those sorts of ones. Con Air, The Rock, you name it.
Oh, The Rock's great, yeah.
Whereas I watched The Long Kiss Goodnight before A League of Their Own because my mother thought I wouldn't understand A League of Their Own. So the movie would go, so she said, nah, don't watch that. You can watch this one instead.
This is the same woman who said that it was okay at a grade six sleepover for us to watch Candyman. But anyway, yeah, this is fine.
Being that she had three other daughters who were much older.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah. She's
given up the time she got to do.
Just watch what you like. Fine. Fine.
My mum would have let us watch Predator, so.
Yeah. So, yeah, Gina Davis, love her. Great movies. There are so many action movies that I was sitting here going, well, I love that one, and I love that one. And Big Trouble in Little China was just amazing.
That, to me, sticks out in my head as one you have always loved since I've known you. You've loved that movie.
Oh, God, yeah.
I'm going to confess something. I've never seen it. I know.
Really?
I know.
Oh, yeah. My God.
I watched.
It's one of those ones I've just never seen, and I don't know why. Just never seen it. It's just
I'm pretty sure Sarah made me watch it while we were uni together. I'm pretty sure I saw it.
You
I'm in my new house, Sarah, movie night, if you've got it, bring it around.
Yeah, definitely have it. I mean, shit, it's one of my favorite. I love Kurt Russell. He's great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Big Trouble in Little China, because my sisters used to watch it. I wanted to watch it, and I just loved it.
Yeah.
There were a couple of creatures in it that kind of freaked my shit out as a kid and still kind of do.
Freaked my shit out as an adult.
Yeah. I'm just like, ew, don't, ew. Just kill it. But, yeah, loved the movie. But that's not the one I chose. So I actually chose a newer movie.
Yeah.
So I'm doing the church scene from The Kingsman. So, yeah, I really did have a lot of trouble picking so many
I changed
movies.
My mind so many times.
Yeah.
And ended up with The Rings because it's just the love that I watch.
Yeah. Well, the Matrix movies, again, those scenes were amazing.
Yeah.
Marvel.
Yeah. Like, how many freaking scenes of Marvel are there?
End scene in the end game.
Yep.
My God.
What about Die Hard? Like all of them.
Die Hard. I know.
So, you know, when he's yelling out the window, welcome to the party, Pat. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
But you know what is a really good action scene? Is when they, in number three, when they find all the bombs that are in schools and then they have to go and find John McClane because his wife has broken up with him again and they find him in a bar and they've had to go and pull him out and he's drunk as fuck and the lieutenant says, is he going to be okay? And one of his superiors goes, he's on a 3-day bender, so no.
Well, the other ones I was thinking of choosing were the Indiana Jones movies.
Oh, yeah. No.
Because, well, I'm a little bit of an Indiana Jones fan.
Da, 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 da. Yes.
Yeah.
So, I am not.
I don't know how.
Even Crystal Skull was good. I mean, Kate Blanchett, so I love her. But, yeah. People shit on it. I love it. I love the whole lot.
I'm still a little bit about Crystal Skull. But, look, the first three, I loved. Love them. And, yeah, you know, the fact that Sean Connery was in the last one, and I just love Sean Connery. But,
and you do love Sean Connery. You also love him so much. I think you've watched all the Bond films that he's in, haven't you?
No.
I thought you had.
No. I've not watched any James Bond. I keep telling you this.
Come to the dark side, darling. I'll show you.
But, yeah, anyway, the church scene from The Kingsman was, I found, absolutely spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
So the scene starts with Harry Hart, who is played by Colin Firth.
Yeah,
love this man. Oh, amazing. Yeah. So yep. Hot.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Darcy.
I'm just putting it out there. I didn't like The Kingsman. However, I do like this scene. And I'm glad Sarah's walking us through this, because I didn't really like this movie, so I've deleted it from my brain. I also haven't seen Pride or Prejudice, so I don't really know what Mr. Darcy is. So, yeah. Oh,
Bridget Jones as well.
Man, Bridget Jones. He plays Mr. Darcy and Bridget Jones. But I have watched Pride and Prejudice so many times just because of Colin Firth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Don't know what this is, but anyway, yeah, keep going.
He's
I don't know what's going on.
This man is so perfect in this role. So with his posh accent, perfect politeness, and his ability to look so damn good in a suit.
Oh, yes.
Plus, he's funny as all hell with his dry British humour.
Why couldn't he be James Bond?
I don't know. He would have been such a sexy James Bond.
Yeah.
Oh. So it starts off with him sitting in an American church. I think it's a Baptist church.
Yeah.
Couldn't quite remember.
Yeah.
Listening to this preacher. Is
it First Baptist or Southern Baptist? Because we didn't take too kindly to Southern
it's
Baptist.
A bit yeah. It's a bit
for sure, it's Southern.
Yeah.
If you know the movie that I'm referring to, I would invite you to come and tell me, because I bet you no one knows it.
Okay. So, yeah, he's listening to the preacher preaching hate and tolerance and blah, 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 blah. He then goes to get up and leave when the woman sitting next to him asks him where he's going. He then replies very flatly, I am a Catholic whore, currently enjoying Congress out of wedlock with my black Jewish boyfriend, who works for a military abortion clinic. So hail Satan and have a lovely afternoon, madam. He then gets up and starts walking out. And I fucking just love that.
Oh, God, I laughed so hard. Oh, fuck, I was crying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So at this point, I actually thought the scene was going to end because he got up and he walked away. But no, I was wrong. So the woman who was sitting next to him gets up and starts spouting some bullshit and fucking intolerance and blah, 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 blah. And while this is happening, the bad guy, Richmond Valentine, who is played by Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes, queen.
Yeah. He's watching the church. So he's watching everything that's happening in this church. He then sets off his little device, which is a sim that, of course, everyone has because it was free. And who doesn't love free shit?
Yeah, exactly.
I would have probably several.
Yeah.
So it's designed to turn everyone who hears the noise that it produces, it turns them overly violent.
Mm.
So as the woman is ranting at Harry, he reaches into his jacket after hearing this noise, grabs his gun, turns around, and shoots the bitch in the head.
Yeah.
Same, personally, but I would have done it without hearing the noise. Just saying.
And I'm violent for wanting to set a car on fire. Yeah, okay.
The car did nothing. She was a bad human. So.
Who's more violent? This is Amy or Sarah? Right now.
Who is making the world a better place? So this is the start of the big fight scene, and it is one of the best I have ever seen. So after he shoots this bitch in the head, he starts continuing to shoot people as he dodges attacks. Then when he runs out of ammo after shooting about 15 people, He starts using whatever he can get his hands on. Broken poles that he ran through three people, turning them into a kebab or a shaslik or whatever you want to call them.
What's and that Mexican for, Sarah?
Oh, that's Mexican for meat on a stick.
It's not. Don't take that seriously.
But the poor boy that I told that to really did take that seriously.
Yes, and I was like, Sarah, you can't train people like that. Because for some reason I'm really serious about my job, even when it's a shit job.
Hey, it was an answer. He uses
some people have to be professional in life. Other people just need to keep shit loose. So, yeah, that's who you guys are.
Yeah, we worked well together.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, so he also uses an axe that he puts into a woman's neck, a knife which he uses to stab a guy in the eye, then takes it out and plunges it into the top of another guy's head.
Yeah.
He uses a Bible to crush someone's throat and knacker. I'm going to use the term knacker, which is hit for all those Americans. He uses it to hit guys in the balls.
Yep.
So he uses that to knacker two more men. One of my favorites is when this, I think it was a woman, pretty sure it was a woman, comes at him, trips over a body, and as they fall, Harry squats down, he turns and shoots them in the face as they're falling. Fucking brutal. Loved every second of it. He also pulls apart an empty gun into two bits and uses it to stab a guy in the eye and throat. And then once he's stabbed them, he's grabbed the spiky ass pole that he's holding and rams it up another guy's jaw into his head. And that's the end of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that'll do, pig. That'll do.
So it took all of about 3 minutes. And at the end, you can see it when he turns and you can see it in his face and he's realized what the fuck he's done.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, shit. What have I done? He's just completely devastated. And when he walks out of the church, you understand why he doesn't fight back. At that point.
Yeah.
I don't want to give away too many spoilers, so.
My favorite bit of that whole scene, like, just as the violence starts, Samuel Jackson's character, Richmond Valentine, he doesn't like blood. He just cannot hand, and he turns around, tell me when it's over.
Tell me what's happening. Tell me when it's over. Yeah, he's just like, he's like, oh, God.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
When he walks out of the church and he just like, I just vomited a little.
Yeah.
It's so interesting that narrative for action movies these days because, like going back to a James Bond, this is like a classic James Bond scene. And obviously, like in the 60s, 70s, well, yeah, the 60s, the 70s and the 80s, they didn't have it in that graphic detail. But I have watched every James Bond film and there is a lot of shit that goes down. And this would be nothing for James Bond. Like, he would just literally walk out the front of the church and it would go, what's that tag music? No, 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 no. And that would be it. Like, and he would literally dust off his collar and move on.
And order himself a martini. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he would get in his fucking crazy fucking amazing car with the like the hottest person that you've ever seen in your life.
Oh yeah,
like it's driving always,
An Aston Martin. James Bond drives an Aston Martin, yeah,
or a Beamer, or or a Peugeot, depending on the day. There's any of the European cars. It's or a Porsche. Porsche is always good. Yeah. And yeah, so she would pull up and she would be like the hottest woman you've ever seen. And she would just like do this massive like skid out. And then she would like pull up to the side of the church and he would just like in a single motion jump in and she would have a glass of something. And I'm just like, thought that might be thirsty work for you, James. And then he would give her that look, you know, the look. And you know they're going to do it.
Yeah.
You're going to do it. Yeah. But isn't it interesting how that was how that was portrayed, whereas now, like, because Colin Firth's character knew that there was something going on, and he was just like, oh my God, I'm devastated. I'm not even going to put up a fight. And that's the difference I feel like that action movies have taken these days, is that there is a lot more responsibility for the death toll, I feel.
A lot more. How do you guys feel that? In the heroes. Heroes have now gained more humanity, like, oh shit, what
and have I done? You know, these people, you know, one of the biggest. You know, one of the biggest things that I noticed is the change in how movies were portrayed with mass casualties that definitely would have happened. When you see a building come down, you know that building wasn't empty. There was thousands of people. So after 9/11, I feel like all of a sudden the feeling for, oh, we can't just blow up a building in the middle of the city because people know that there was people in there. That's sad. It's not funny anymore.
My wine choice, innocent bystanders. People, think of poor innocent bystanders that are getting killed in these movies that you just don't even think about. Or the people in the cars that have massive car pile-ups.
Haven't you noticed, though, that when the bridges are about to blow up, all of a sudden the hero turns up, lands on the bridge, and all of a sudden all of the people, and if you count them and you rewatch these scenes, all the people escape their cars and they don't die.
Not always. Sometimes there's pile-ups and then it cuts to a different scene. You don't know what happens to those people.
Yeah, it most of the time it's making you think that they actually escaped because you can see them running off. Whether they actually do escape or not, we don't know, and it's not written into it. But the point that I'm trying to make is that, like, having some sort of emotional connection for life, basically, for human life, has become something that is so big in action movies. There's such a big responsibility now on heroes, not just to randomly just kill people. And I think that changed action movies for us and as a generation. Like, if you look at the movies that we're talking about, you know, these are from our childhood, our teenage years. A lot of those scenes would have been very, very different these days, I feel.
Yeah, maybe. All right, I'll continue with my bit because I don't have much to go. So the director and producer, I thought I'd have a look into this. Usually I don't give a shit about this kind of thing. But,
yeah. And she doesn't, people. I really don't. Being serious.
I was actually more concentrating on the choreography. But, you know, the director and producer was Matthew Vaughn, known for X-Men First Class, Stardust, which is also a really good movie.
You've said that so many times.
Yeah.
Stardust is something we need to watch, and Bianca and I still don't know what movie it is.
It's called Stardust, people.
Yeah, it stars Nicole Kidman. I'm out.
No, that's the Golden Compass.
Oh, yeah, it's Golden Compass. Oh, no, this is Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, she did this last time. She gets Michelle Pfeiffer and Nicole Kidman confused all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, Stardust has Michelle Pfeiffer.
I don't know why, because I like Michelle Pfeiffer and I hate Nicole Kidman. She can
Well, watch Stardust. Yeah. It's an amazing movie. He's also done Kick-Ass. The singer. La 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 la. Sorry.
La 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 la.
I've got to love Kick-Ass. The cinematography was done by George Richmond, who worked on The Golden Compass.
Yeah.
War Horse, Clash of the Titans, and Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation.
I've seen one of those movies.
I've seen The Golden Compass.
I've seen Clash of the Titans.
Yeah.
Which I liked, actually. Surprisingly, I actually fucking liked that movie.
Yeah, it was all right.
I haven't seen any of the others, though.
I've seen Golden Compass.
I've seen Clash of the Titans, but I haven't seen, like, Wrath of the Titans.
No, I haven't seen the Brits.
Yeah.
I've seen Wrath of the Titans. I think Clash of the Titans is a little better. That was the remake of the old one with that stupid mechanical owl. I prefer the old one.
Is his name Hedwig?
No, that's Harry Potter. But, yeah, I was more interested in the choreography of the movie, which was done by...
There's dance scenes in that movie. Did I miss that?
No, the fight choreography.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
I did not look up how to pronounce this guy's name.
It's Guillermo.
Wow.
Guillermo. Mm.
Guillermo. I would have butchered that. So thanks, Bianca.
I help who?
Thank you, Amy, too. I think he was Portuguese.
Yeah, get
yeah,
out.
Yeah, which is, so he studied Taekwondo, Aikido, Russian Sambo, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Filipino boxing, and traditional Japanese sword fighting. So he knows all the moves.
He's up with the punchy punchy, the dancy dancy, and the stabby
kiki,
stabby.
Kiki. Yeah. Don't forget the kiki yeah. kiki.
And the kiki kiki.
Yeah. So he's
kiki learned... kiki, punchy punchy, dancy dancy, and stabby stabby.
Stabby. Yeah. Yeah. So he's known for doing movies like Kick-Ass.
Yep.
The Expendables.
Oh, yes.
Loved it.
I Am Number 4.
I liked
thank
it.
You. Yeah.
I love I Am Number 4. Breaking Dawn Part 1 and 2.
Ah.
Didn't like them, but I did think that the fight scenes were actually not bad.
Yeah,
well, I'm not going to say good. Never going to say good.
The choreography for those. 300.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love 300.
Yep.
Yes.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, they were good too.
And Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, also very good.
So he did that, and I like most of those movies that I just mentioned, except for Kick-Ass, which I haven't really seen.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Kick-Ass. It's got Nicolas Cage in it. You've got to watch it. It's so good.
Yeah, at some point I'll watch it.
Look, Sarah, it's okay.
For those who have not seen The Golden Compass or Stardust.
Yeah, look, Kick-Ass is okay. I'm a huge Nicolas Cage fan. I love him. I love him to bits, but Kick-Ass is not one of my favorites.
Yeah, fair enough.
I really liked it. Okay. I liked it for so many reasons. It's just because it's such an anti-hero film. He's such a dropkick. At the start, the main character is such a droppy, and you hate him all the way through. Even when he becomes good, you hate him. But Chloe Grace Moretz, she's the best thing in that film. She's amazing. So good.
Well, I also wanted to make a quick shout out to another scene in this movie, which is the end scene. So when they've destroyed the phone chips, all the security chips that were implanted into the wealthy people's heads protect them.
Yeah.
They start exploding along, of course, with the people's heads. But it's different to most like gore movies where, you know, it explodes and then brain matter goes everywhere. No. It explodes in the most beautiful way. Beautiful fireworks. And it's all to, I don't even know the song.
Oh, is it?
That's Ode to Joy.
Yeah.
No. It's more British.
Carrots and Fire.
I'm pretty sure that was an American movie. I don't know. I haven't really watched it.
It is. It's very beautiful. Like, it's awesome. Yeah.
It's just beautiful, and it all explodes so perfectly. Yep. You see,
and
like,
Samuel L. Jackson is just vomiting on the desk. Oh, fucking love it.
Yeah. All the heads are exploding, and it was so beautiful.
I have had so much fun listening to this. Listening.
this topic. You've had so much fun listening to Bianca and I talk about our movies.
Talk about movies I don't like. Anyway, yeah, I've had so much fun researching this topic because I love this topic so much. Yeah. As I did with all of the other topics over the last few weeks / year, because we've ticked over a year now. So loved it. Loved learning all of our things. Yeah, it's great. However, we would love some topic suggestions from our listeners. If you have a topic which you would like us to discuss, email us at FridayNightWineFight@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on our socials, so Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. Do we have a call to action button or something like that on our blog, Bianca? You would know that.
Mate, I don't know where I'm coming and going these days. I will explain why in the next episode.
that's a no. Anyway, FridayNightWineFight@gmail.com or Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, or Instagram. Hit us up. To everybody who has listened to this, we would like to thank each and every one of you for listening to our utter fucking dribble. Sorry. Yeah. Not sorry. We hope you have found it entertaining and you're not using any facts discussed in this recording to make important decisions in your lives. You definitely should use a flaming human corpse as a counterweight when you're going to shoot up into midair and machine gun a bad guy, obviously.
Yeah.
You should definitely employ elves to win your battles.
Yeah.
And yes. If you're going to go batshit crazy, do it in church. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that sums it up.
Preferably. Also carry a protection chain. Church, but
And carry a protection chain. Yeah.
Yeah, carry a protection chainsaw always.
Yeah.
Always.
It will help you in these situations.
Definitely. All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.
Bye.